Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Merrill.
That would be a little weird.
Everybody there wears a necktie with like a super huge loop, like Merrill Hodge.
Oh, is that where you were going?
That's where I was going. Steelers legend Merrill Hodge.
Yeah, he's a Steelers legend. Yes.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away. StrangeBrewCoffeeHouse.com. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. Whatever role you play in your business, you can get in touch with our good friend Cam Baker and tell him, hey, Pip Printing and Signs, I think my business would benefit from doing business with you. 30 years of experience helping out businesses, getting their message out, revitalizing them, and putting out an image that is beneficial to everyone involved. Go to the website, pipridgeland.com, to see what I'm talking about. See all the incredible amount of services, of graphics, of marketing materials they can put together for you and your business. Again, if you live in the if you're in Mississippi, they've been doing business here for 30 years. So, you know, sort of the same thing I talk about with other advertisers. When you're open that long, it tends to be a good sign for what they're going to present to you. 601-499-5216. That's Cam's number. Tell him you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. And you certainly are looking for it. Guys, we are only, as we sit here today, less than 2 weeks away from the first game. I think, 13 days now, as Robbie and I sit here and record. 13 days, not 14. And if you are looking for maroon and white merchandise, the place to get it is College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowa by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. It is 13 days to first game, right? Not 14.
Well, it's actually 12.
12 on a Monday.
Yes.
If you listen on Monday.
Oh, no. Yeah.
If you listen on Sunday, it's 13.
It's 13. Yes.
Not 14.
Correct.
Okay. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best restaurant in town is Restaurant Tyler. Guys, I'll be at Restaurant Tyler this week. I'm already feeling that urge to get back there, even though I was just there the other day. And that's the great thing about Restaurant Tyler is I can go there for lunch and not have to worry about it. I don't have to have the same thing I had last time because there's just so many great options on the menu. I had blackened catfish last time, but if I want to get fried chicken this time, I can do that. I like their hamburger steak. I like the pork chops there as well. I like pork chops.
Oh, I do too.
So,
surprising.
Yeah. Smothered in brown gravy.
Grilled, fried, whatever.
Yeah, I'll eat them. Yep. So you can too. If you haven't already been to lunch at Restaurant Tyler, you're missing out. Go get the best lunch in town. It's at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them tell you how they can help you manage your money for years and years to come. They give you the best of both worlds, all of the financial flexibility and services offered by those big corporate banks, but also the small town service that you want. When you walk in the door, you want people to know who you are, to treat you neighborly. You get that at Priority One Bank. 16 locations means if you live in Central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One Bank location. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Alrighty.
You got anything to talk about today? Or?
I mean, Jeff Lovey didn't, so why should I?
We just want to go out there and have, tremendous passion for the game, tremendous strain. Yeah.
I do want to give a shout out, and I know we'll do the ad for them a little later. But the good folks at the Mississippi Beef Council, I asked them, I said, how many steaks are you cooking today? They said 350.
I would have loved to have taken one of them off the grill for them.
What? He was like, how many people in the family? I was like, wife, two kids. He's like, give me six ribeyes. I was like, that's my kind of numbers. So thanks to
my
Andy,
kind of math.
Our buddy Sam Blakeney from Bay Springs. Yeah. He's got some. So he hooked us up. He got one of his cows made a sacrifice for us, and we have two. I'm not exaggerating this. I'll take a picture of it and I'll tweet it out at some point. Two Flintstone sized steaks. Like the, you remember the steak that you,
yeah.
You know what? Now that I think about it, you know what it looks like. I need to weigh it. It looks like the old 96er.
Oh boy!
Yeah.
I bet there's not as much.
There's not as much gristle on it. No, no. So.
No, the last time we saw Sam was at Bay Springs, which is where he lives, I believe, and he brought us a couple of things of ground beef. Mm-hmm. Which I think were 2 pounds each, mm-hmm. which is more than you can get at the grocery store. And you got the, what did you get? Tri-tip.
Yeah.
And I got chuck roast.
Yeah.
And he was apologizing. He's like, this chuck roast is not really what I prefer, the size of it. The thing's like, you know, almost bigger than my torso.
Yeah.
So, I mean, big shout out to him, and quality meat, as quality as you can get. Obviously, when you have those farms, man, that's a different kind of meat to me.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean,
looking good.
You cannot go wrong with beef.
That's right. So I asked. I said, "How
you
many,
and I might get some
how many
beef
cows
tonight?
Is this 12? You get 24 ribeyes of that size out the cow, is what I learned. I learned some stuff today. So. Thanks
they grilled 12 cows.
Yeah.
Yo.
So, to beef up the Bulldogs. So
and I'm guessing
stuff.
I'm guessing all the dogs, the players, I'm guessing they wiped it out.
I wonder, you know, like, how many people got three? Like,
oh, like Albert Reese probably
Albert Reese
put one
got
down.
Three. Yeah.
You know, the offensive linemen,
yeah.
they probably took, like, the
they probably,
you know, the wide receivers.
They probably started with two.
The wide receivers pushed their plate out. Like had about four full. Bites left, and they just did a Bob Korsgad and they started picking off the plates.
All right. Before Robbie and I talk, let's hear from Jeff Lebby. Here's his post-scrimmage press conference from Saturday, where he talked to the members of the media following his team's second go-round in Davis-Wade Stadium.
You got a question? Raise your hand. Steve? Coach, I guess maybe just kind of start with general observations, and did you see a little more cleaner execution this week compared to last?
Yeah, it was similar from the standpoint. There was a lot of back and forth. Both sides of the ball had success. We were much better today from a non-playing penalty standpoint, which was good to see on both sides of the ball. So got to continue to stress that and move that in the right direction.
Coach, obviously last year their season was kind of ended premature by injuries with Dink and Travion. How have they kind of responded this year, and then how big of a piece do you expect them to play on the D-line?
Yeah, they'll both play a huge piece. Both those guys, you know, we're trying to be really, really smart as we're getting them back. Dink's done a little more, but Trey's done some really good things early, and we're trying to be smart with him right now as we're trying to get him back in the fold. But both those guys will have and major impacts this fall.
I know he's a young guy and still learning, but noticed that Joe Head was kind of started out at Jack linebacker in the spring, but noticed he's moved to defensive end. Yeah. What have you seen from him with that move?
Yeah, I've seen a guy that's got great physicality and a really, really high motor. He plays the game the way you want him to play it. He, again, a young guy that got a lot of ball ahead of him, but just love his temperament, his personality, and how he goes about it.
Where would you say you saw the most improvement or progression from scrimmage one to scrimmage two?
Yeah, I do. I think it's the non-playing penalty part of it, just being able to play clean before the snap, being able to play clean from a substitution standpoint, getting guys on and off the field, you know, as game-like as possible. So, again, we've got to continue to trend that way.
Coach, you've had most of your wide receivers now, you know, for the spring and the fall? I mean, you, now that you've had a chance to kind of work with them and kind of see what they do well, how would you kind of assess the talent level of that group?
Yeah, I think we got good players in that room, and I think we've gotten to the point to where we've got some quality depth. So I do. I think between week one, week two, week three, as we get into it, I think we're going to be able to play seven to maybe eight guys from the receiver room and count on those guys to play winning football. It's kind of like I talked about last week. It's not just guys that can go play. It's guys that can go win. So I feel good about where we're at in that room.
You guys have more hard physical runs from Kevon Lee today. What do you like about his running style?
Yeah, just a guy that's – he's a plus-two guy. He can find a way to where, you know, he can gain six, but he's going to fall for eight. And he's got to continue to do that. He's got to give us that physicality at the position. But it's not just Kevon. We got some other guys that can do it as well. But just love just having the big physical part of who Kevon is, being able to have that is huge.
Coach, obviously a lot of new faces on the offensive line. What did you see from the guys today?
Yeah, again, we've got guys in that room that are, man, they're doing a really good job of getting better every day, being incredibly intentional when they're in the building, and you know, we're moving some guys around to make sure that we have the best eight or nine with position flexibility as we get into it, and I think we're finding the right one. So again, I'm proud of that group. We've got a lot of work to do and a long way to go, but that group's in a good spot.
Coach, we had a chance to talk to Sean Williams about the program leading up to this. How much have you seen the impact on that, getting them ready for fall ball, but physically, how they held up during the stresses of contact work?
Yeah, I think when you look at us today compared to, you know, January, I think our bodies look incredibly different. And that's a credit to our guys committing, but it's a credit to what we're doing in the strength and conditioning program. So we've made great strides in there. Sean and his staff has done an unbelievable job getting us to this point. And they'll be a huge part of it in season as well.
If I gave you a spectrum between not ready at all and we're ready to play a game, where would you assess your team is?
Yeah, I'd say we are right there in the middle. And I do. I like where we're at. I also like that we got 2 weeks left to be able to clean stuff up and dial in on some of the detail and get ready for an opponent. And that's something that I think all of our guys are looking forward to.
Last week you mentioned about some guys that just got here in June that you need to get some reps for. Two of those guys at corner, Diego and Montre Miller, how have you seen those guys kind of catch up with the rest of the group and how they developed?
Yeah, both of those guys have been fighting a couple things, so hadn't had them the entire time. Nothing major, but guys that, again, have played a bunch of football. And so there's a maturity level. There's an understanding of how we need to do what we do, and that's exactly what we needed for the room with us being as young as we are in there. So proud of where they're at. You know, need those guys to be 100% healthy to be able to get the work they need to get, but they've been a good addition.
Coach, the specialist, I know you prefer to score touchdowns, but you still got to kick extra points, but how would you kind of assess maybe the competition between those specialists right now?
Yeah, it is. It's neck and neck. I think I talked about it last week, but we've got one more week of some competition to work through and go through before we dial in on one guy and name him a starter from a kickoff standpoint or from a field goal standpoint. I like where both of them are. Neither one has just created a ton of separation, which I really do. I think that's a good thing because both have been solid. And we'll see how this week unfolds.
You invested yesterday in a walkthrough type practice. What does that say about the attention to getting ready, not just for a game, but for the whole game weekend, going through the pregame and then the game action itself like today?
Yeah, I think our guys, everything's still going to be their first time to do it. You know, so yesterday, our No Sweat Thursday was the first time they'd ever done anything like that. And so them understanding what that needs to look like as we get into the season, how important those days are, how much we can get done in a walkthrough setting and operate with great urgency as we get ready to play while physically wanting to be fresh and fast on Saturday. So that was good for us, and then we'll continue to do that as we get closer.
You mentioned 2 weeks left. Do you have a strict schedule when you want to make the transition from camp to pregame, or is that to be determined by what you think from the scrimmage today?
No, we'll be a lot more scout exchange next week, so minimum ones-on-ones, twos-on-twos as we get into it. It'll be much more of a game week. We'll get two of those with still some good-on-good work as we get closer to Wednesday and Thursday of this next week with our mock game next Saturday. So really dialed in on what I want it to look like over the next 2 weeks. And, again, it'll be more game week than fall camp.
Coach, just piggybacking on Paul's question about a couple of defensive backs. But as a group, are they giving Blake and the offense the looks that you like for him to get?
Yeah, I think so. Again, we've got to get some guys back. We're kind of in the mode right now of we've got some dings where we got to get some guys back. We're going to get them back, and we're looking forward to that. But that's a group that I think is going to be able to, again, roll quite a few guys similar to how we are at the receiver position. So there has been some growth. I think there's been some really good developments because some guys have been down over the last few practices. So I think in the long game, that's probably going to benefit us as we get these other guys back.
Coach, before you ran the whole show, you're on the offensive side exclusively, but when you go spend time with the defense, what kind of things are you looking for? What do you kind of emphasize to your coaches?
Energy, toughness, physicality, and getting the ball out. I mean, that's what we want. We want guys that play the game in a violent way. We want to get the ball out, get the ball back, and guys that play with relentless effort. You know, I say it all the time, but I've never seen a great play made without great effort. And I think our guys understand that. And that's what we're looking for. We want it to look like a defense that's playing with their hair on fire every single snap.
All right.
So, Robbie, obviously, again, I tried. I did. I came up with two questions I thought were good. And I was like, maybe I can coax a little out of him. Nope. The man is a machine.
He knows.
It's sort of like the Hunt for Red October. It's like, I'm going to have to play my games and you play yours, and we'll just have to see who comes out ahead of
He's
that.
He's a chess master so far.
Yes, he is. He has checkmated me both.
Either that, or would a better analogy be he's a really good poker player?
Yeah, he didn't give away much. Yeah. That's for sure. I don't feel like he's bluffing me either. So I feel like I feel like he's telling the truth. So I don't know.
I think it too. He's very careful to try to gas anybody up.
Yeah.
Because first of all, you're still dealing with battles at positions.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I think that you have to change your entire strategy as a coach now to, keep other teams from finding stuff out about you in camp. I mean, it's even people starting to tamper. Who's standing out at Mississippi State right now, they'll get a head start and start tampering, which, mm-hmm. I mean, during the season, all that stuff gets exposed anyway, but I do think that stuff happens. So the game has changed.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much longer you'll be able to hide a bunch of stuff. I don't think they're going to be televising practices or anything like some people think, but I don't think that things are going to be as secret, as they tend to be right now. And that's not just at Mississippi State, that's across the landscape. Coaches are just being way more guarded on what they say and what they let people see, especially, the things that they can control, like camp.
The one thing I thought that he talked about that he gave us was that this is the second week in a row that he feels like they're better off pre-snap, that they continue to clean up things pre-snap. And that's something we hadn't really, I guess, thought about as much, but when you run tempo – but you also want to sub guys in and out. There's a lot of potential for illegal substitutions and illegal formations and false starts when you run this kind of offense. When you're not letting everybody settle down and get in the huddle, break the huddle, get to the line. Go. If you're wanting to get up on the line, there's a potential for that. And it's something I hadn't really considered. And when you think, again, you've got 11 guys who have never played together before. It's all new to them. The Blake Shapen's cadence is going to be new to them. I get where he's coming from on that. So that is an area, I think back to Joe Moorhead and the pre-snap penalties in that Kentucky game and how brutal it was.
That was an issue for him as long as he was here.
His whole career. So yeah, making an effort to root that out now is definitely the right idea for Jeff Lebby.
That's just discipline. That's just, you know, making sure that your guys are accountable and they know that anything that they do that's a misstep or whatever, it affects the entire team. You can kill a drive just on a false start. You can kill a drive.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is, you know, I was reminded about this, you know, strangely playing NCAA the other day whenever I tried out the RPO stuff for once, which I stopped doing RPO after I tried it.
Yeah.
And realized that I didn't like it. But how easy it is to get the illegal man, ineligible receiver downfield or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like one of those things, like every time I would see Ole Miss offensively, I'd be like, these RPOs, like you could catch them in an illegal man down the field almost every time. Mm-hmm. Like what is the thing that separates a true, like, you know, there's no way that this is an illegal man down the field and one that's just kind of borderline. So that's part of it too, is those offensive linemen have got to make sure that they are not taking part in those penalties too. So there's so much that goes into this offense that you have to be a well-oiled machine and you have to be able to dissect the defense, make changes on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy, but yeah. It's just like he said – in the first week or so of practice, when I asked him about, like, when do you want to be able to have your offense installed? How quickly do you want your team to be able to pick this up? And he wanted it very fast.
Mm-hmm.
So this offense has it's kind of been, you know, a situation where these guys are having to learn a lot of things quickly, and it's not one of those deals where we're talking about Mike Leach needed a couple of years or whatever. They're getting this stuff in as soon as possible. And they're going to have to be really good at the little things this year for this team to be able to get to where people want them to be, and that's bowl eligible.
So let's talk about what we were able to glean from this scrimmage. Let's move into that, and that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council. We want to remind that beef, it's what's for dinner, or it was for what was for lunch this past week.
They're getting a massive shout-out today.
As they should. As they should. I mean, you cook 350 steaks.
Let's just make the second part of the show.
Look, let me tell you. Beef. Talk about, like, I mean, do you think about cooking out on those open pits like that? Big fire in 100-degree weather. I mean, it's hot. It's hot. That's hot
work. It's really hot.
So those guys deserve a lot of credit for helping out Mississippi
State. You've got to have those big fans blowing on you.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But if you just want to make it really easy on yourself to enjoy a steak and not have to get out in the heat, just go hit one of our awesome steakhouse restaurants across the state. Sit in comfort and enjoy yourself with a great steak. If you're cooking it or if you're having someone else do it for you, it does not matter. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked southern soul food that you are looking for, and you certainly are looking for it. That's another stop I'm going to have to make this week, is over at Two Brothers. I haven't been in quite some time, and I need to get there. And I will. Also, the older brother, the fanciest of sandwiches. I am fascinated to see what the older brother looks like this football season. I think the line's going to be out into the Cotton District. It might be out to the fountain. At some times, that place is going to be busy. So make sure you get a chance to get over there. If you get a moment, duck in, get a sandwich. You should take advantage of that. Two Brothers Smoked Meats, the older brother, two of Starville's best restaurants, right there in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products, great service is what every business likes to promise you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 49 years. I'm going to go ahead and say 50. We're in August. 50 years. 50. 50 years of taking care of you, their customers. When you need technology for your business, give them a call. And then if you need service, hey guys, you get to call the same number. It's not a 1-800 number. It's not your business is valuable to us. Our menu options have changed. Have their menu options ever actually changed? I submit that they have not. You don't have to make an appointment with a guy who's like, all right, I'll be there week and a half, something like that. No. Advantage Business Systems, it's a Mississippi company. You're a Mississippi company. A lot of times they can serve you the same exact day. That's the difference between being a neighbor and being a number. The number is 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you're at the games this fall, you need to be at Maroon & Co. Maroon & Co. has all of the MSU gear you're looking for with the logos that you want. The M over S, the interlocking, and of course the state script. Whatever it is you're looking for, Maroon & White, it's at Maroon & Co. And we can save you a little money. 15% off regular priced items. Some exclusions do apply with our code THUNDER15. THUNDER15, that code is available both online and in the store. Just gotta tell them at the register, hey, I want to use the Thunder and Lightning code THUNDER15. They know what to do. They'll take care of it from there. Before you go to Davis Wade Stadium this fall, you need to go to Maroon & Co. So we got to dig. We got to figure out here what we're gonna learn from this scrimmage, and from I don't know who you've talked to, the people I've talked to. It feels like the running back rotation. I don't know if coming into focus is the right way to put that, but you're starting to see, and all of those guys I think have had good camps. I don't think anybody has stood two head and shoulders above the other ones, but it looks like to me Johnny Daniels. And Jeff Pittman, which I'm surprised by. I'm not even going to lie to you. Maybe I underestimated the guy. But it feels like they're just a little bit ahead of Lee and Booth. Now, with Booth, and maybe this is – you brought this up the other day when we did the All-22. Maybe I should take into consideration a little bit more. But it didn't have the spring.
Yeah.
The other guys did. So maybe I shouldn't be too surprised that he – again, it's not that he's like running fourth string and he we made a mistake bringing this guy in.
Yeah.
He's just a little bit behind. But the committee is starting to find its way forward at both receiver and running back. But running back, to me, is that's where guys are. You're starting to see a little bit more clarity.
And I think it's just a good thing that Jeffrey Pittman. I don't think it's that Jeffrey Pittman's just.
I can't have enough good players. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's like Jeffrey Pittman is just by default, and they've had so many struggles. I just got to push him in there. No, I think he's had a really good camp. Actually, everybody in that group of four. Or whatever has been really good during camp. I think it's a situation where you have a lot of good options and guys are starting to come up to the surface here. And I believe that, just in my opinion, by the end of the year, I think you're probably going to be talking about Johnny Daniels and Devon Booth the most. But for game one, there's still some clarity that has to come out here. And I don't know who's going to be the starter. I really don't. I hear something different every week.
Yeah.
Last week, Kevon Lee was my starter because that's just what I was hearing at the time. Kevon Lee was kind of the guy that had been the most consistent. We talked to him in interviews, which I thought and I think is a telltale sign usually. But Johnny Daniels is really coming up in a lot of conversations whenever you talk about what they did in scrimmages and like the team periods and things like that. Johnny Daniels has been really impressive. And Devon Booth has made some big plays too. I just don't think he has been as consistent as Jeffrey Pittman, Johnny Daniels, and even Kevon Lee at this point. I think he has probably the most talent. He has the most potential. But like you said, he's the only one that hasn't been able to be with the team until a couple months ago. So I like him long-term for Mississippi State, but would not shock me to see either of those other three starting. And Johnny Daniels is a guy I think that people just have not talked about enough that could be a breakout candidate for Mississippi State this year at running back.
I know that Glenn Davis loved him. And of course, I was his coach. And Davis is a guy who's going to talk good about his guys. But he's also a guy who coached a lot of great SEC running backs. So when he's telling you that this guy can play at that level, when State signed Daniels, I think I came on the show. I was like, I like the signing, and I think that there's some potential there. So we'll see. We'll see where it takes us. But, yeah, good to see that that's starting to come into clarity. At receiver, you're not hearing as much about Coleman and Akari as maybe you want to, but I think they're just being careful with them, and I think they're also allowing these young guys to get reps because they know that they need to do that. They need to build up some depth. Every week with Mario Craver, it's something. Every week, it's here's another long touchdown pass that Mario Craver has got in. I still buy my idea that by the end of the season, Stonka Burnside will be starting. I don't think Craver will be a starter over Coleman. But Mario Craver is going to play a big role for Mississippi State this year, I think.
Yeah, they will use him in packages. They'll use him. I think in the return game, wouldn't shock me to see him out there in that too, just to get a dynamic playmaker. And I still do not understand how he got away from those in-state schools. And now Auburn had like three or four, you know, four or five-star wide receivers, and I'm sure Alabama did too, but still, I mean, the guy is just in a state championship game against one of the best receivers in the country, Ryan Williams. He was just as impressive to me in what he did. So it would not shock me at all to see Mario Craver coming out and doing some big things for Mississippi State. This is probably the deepest and most talented wide receiver group I can remember here. And I feel like we've said that a couple of times, but I truly believe that. I truly believe that there's enough guys out there that, you know, you can kind of circulate them, put them in there, put them with different personnel, things like that, and you're not going to miss much of a beat. I think that Kevin Coleman is still, you know, the guy at that mm-hmm. position, but if you put Mario Craver in the ball game and gave Kevin Coleman a rest, I don't think you're missing a whole lot.
I think this staff is a little more keen to do something we've talked about in years past. We talked about it a lot with Tulu. When you would hear from Tulu, you would hear it from people like, well, he doesn't have a grasp of the whole offense. Like, then create packages for him. I think this
figure staff, out a way to get the ball in his hands.
Yeah. I think this staff is more likely to do that with guys like Craver, maybe Creed Whittemore. Just, you know, you don't have to have the full complement of things. You can just put them out there, like, we're going to run this play, try to get the ball to him, and go from there. And I say this all the time, but, like, football is not as complicated as like, I'm not saying that I could go in there and understand anything that Jeff Lebby's talking about when he goes deep into his offense. Probably the same thing with Cole Hutzler and his defense. Like, you know, they start getting real technical, I'm lost. I'm out of my depth.
And, you know, the calls are different,
right.
The terminology is
but
different.
But the game of football is a pretty simple game at its core. And, like, if you get the ball in the hands of your best players, you probably win more often than you lose, assuming your players aren't so much worse than the other team's best players. So we'll see if that comes out to pass. Defensively, everything I've heard sounds like the offense had a better week this week than the defense did. Last week it was more about the defense, but this week the offense seems to have caught up a little bit.
Can these highlight videos please lay off Hunter Washington?
He's not. There's a reason I got him at 21.
I mean, I don't think he's as bad as they're making him out, but every big play is him getting juked.
Yeah,
he got ran over in a clip. Like, they are doing him no favors with these highlights.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad for him.
Yeah,
because I think he's had a much better camp than these clips are showing. That might be the three plays all camp that he's struggled with. I don't know.
Well, we've seen him.
Yeah, but they caught him on film, so now everybody believes he's just absolute, you know, garbage juice. Not, you know, I don't think it's that bad, but
right.
Like, help the guy out a little bit.
I'm so
I think there was a clip that he like picked off a pass.
Yeah,
or something.
He had a deflection, a PBU.
Okay.
I think I don't know that I've ever, you know, and I take them with a grain of salt, but I'm really interested to see that first depth chart
mm-hmm.
just so I can have a feel of at least where the coaches tell me what the two deep is.
Yeah.
Because right now there are some spots where I'm like, there might be two or three guys.
Well, I mean, the good news is, like, this has been a very frustrating offseason just in terms of you got a coaching change and you just some of these positions you don't know who's playing where. Like the safeties, I didn't know what position Isaac Smith was or Brian Lanier or the guys like that. Like, we've had to ask them those questions, what position they're at, because we just didn't know.
Yeah.
And so this has been really difficult to try to get through.
Yeah.
It's hurt our business a little bit. I mean, it's definitely hurt the industry not being able to talk about, you know, what's happening in camp other than, you know, little snippets that we hear here and there.
Yeah.
So the good news is, in 2 weeks, we are going to be able to know exactly what we're looking at.
A much clearer picture, won't we? And we should at that point.
After game one, like, I feel like we're going to be able to know a whole lot about this team.
How much am I going to take from game one? You know, last year, watching that game, and with the benefit of hindsight, there were some red flags, right? Mm-hmm. They were just like, I don't know. But I just played it off as opening day. I don't want to take too much away from it. And I don't know about this year. You know, I want to see what they look like.
Well, I mean, we've seen coaches that have not been very successful been really good in that first game.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you can. I don't. But I know one thing. I think people feel a lot better if you come out and just beat that team into the ground.
Yeah.
And you beat them 60-3 or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that would help. So, you know, we'll see.
We will see. All right. Tomorrow's show, some more football, I'm sure. Plus, our preseason predictions for the Ole Miss Rebels. What is going to come out of my mouth to talk about the Ole Miss Rebels? Can't wait.
Yay.
I'm not looking forward to telling you what I have written down for their prediction. I'll just put it that way. This week, Arizona State preview. I reached out to David Brandt and got an interview set up for that.
Our friend David.
Our good friend out there in the land of the rising sun. Oh, that's Japan. Japan is the land of the rising sun. What am I? The valley of the sun.
There you go.
There it is. I knew it was something with the sun. Plus, plenty more to talk about this week. We haven't gotten our availability schedule this week, and I'm interested to see how much we really get this week. You know, they might go ahead and start calling it game week and shutting all that down. But we'll find out. Plenty to talk about here. We're looking forward to it as we get closer and closer to the start of football season. Guys, have a good Monday. Back with you on Tuesday for Robbie Falk. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening on Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.